listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It's good to be here again for another session of How to Love Your Neighbor. And we're on session two. What does the love look like? What does love look like? You know, love is an idea that we tend to apply to everything. I was just talking earlier with a friend, and I talked about how much I love chocolate. Well, so sometimes we use it flippantly in our culture. The love we are called to possess, though, is something far greater than the way we use it from day to day. Or I should say the way our culture defines it. Love has its origin in God. Consequently, the love we are to display is grounded in the character of God. So in this session, we're going to learn the best way that we can help and serve our neighbors is to love them as God loves them. This lesson comes from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13.
All right, so our point for today is we are to love others as God loves us. What a powerful point that is. How can we live out our true love in our lives? And so here we go. So the first point is make love foundational. Make love foundational. Let me start reading in verse number one. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so, wow, this is really important because we really need to know what love really looks like in order to be able to actualize love in our lives. And so here in this first point, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we have to make love foundational. It has to be the very foundation of all we do. In the Corinthian church, remember, there were a lot of things going on. And people were busy and boasting about a whole lot of things that they were doing by the Holy Spirit. And now Paul in the middle of this, we always call this the love chapter, but this is in the middle of this whole discussion of spiritual gifts in chapters 12 and chapter 14. So this is really trying to put all of our lives in order, huh? In terms of everything that we do. And it says, whatever you're doing, love must be foundational. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, it doesn't mean anything without love. If I prophesy, it doesn't mean anything without love. If I have so much faith that I could move a mountain, it's nothing. If I give everything away, it's nothing. If I even give my body, it is nothing without love. And so love makes everything that we do meaningful, huh? When it comes to the kingdom of God, love makes everything we do meaningful. And without love, everything we do is not meaningful, Why is that? Because John says, 1 John, he that knoweth not God knoweth not love, because God is love. And if God is love, then that's how it's all got to be expressed through our lives, huh? And so what a great launching pad this is for this discussion as we begin 1 Corinthians 13. What are you seeing here, Christina?
Yeah, Mark, I just wanted to point out, you talked about faith without love. You know, here Paul was quoting the idea of Jesus, and he was referring to faith which could move mountains, and that's in Matthew 17 and 20. He said, what an amazing thing it would be to have this kind of faith. You know, people often strive to really want this faith, yet even without that kind of faith, we are nothing without love. So think about this. If a person with this kind of faith can move great mountains, the thing that may happen without love is that he would set that mountain right down in the path of somebody else, or maybe on top of someone. So, you know, I said that jokingly, but that's kind of the gist of it. All of these things described here in verses 1-3 are good things. You know, they're gifts, they're wonderful things that should valuable, so important that apart from it, every other good thing is useless. So sometimes we make the great mistake of letting go of what is best. And we know what is best is that we love for something that is not good, speaking or not as good. So speaking in tongues is not as good as love. So those are good things to think about. And we hope that you really understand this, because this can be very divisive in the church.
All right. So let me just go on to this next point and remind us that love is essential. And so let's start reading 1 Corinthians 13 at verse number 4, which says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. All right, so we have just come out of this time in this pandemic, and we've talked about essential workers. Well, in the life of the believer, love is an essential worker. Love is absolutely essential. And so just think about it. It says patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, right? So all of the opposite of all of these statements is what any of us would consider an unloving person. If you're not patient with me, if you're not kind to me, if you're envious or boastful or arrogant. And so all of these are unloving actions, and it reminds us that love is only the positive manifestation of each one of these actions in a person's life. And so often people are, call themselves Christians, but they're arrogant. Or we call ourselves following Jesus, but we are irritable, or we keep long records of the wrongs done in other people's lives. Come on now. So verse 6 reminds us we can't do that, because love takes no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And so we're not going to follow lies. We're not going to spread lies. We're not going to believe lies if we're following this idea of love, because love rejoices in the truth. And so this is a beautiful illustration of living the life of love, helping us to see exactly what our actions ought to be, what love truly looks like. And so what do you see about this idea of love being essential, Christina?
You know, Mark, all of these are so essential and so important. I wish that we had time to really delve into them, because these are descriptions of what that true, deep love is all about. But the one that jumps out at me is love does not envy. Love does not envy. Because envy is one of the least productive and most damaging of all the sins that we can think of. It accomplishes nothing except hurt. Love keeps its distance from envy, and it does not resent it when someone else is promoted or blessed. So, you know, sometimes when someone is pushed ahead of us, we get envious, even though we really don't mean to, or we do intentionally, we become envious. The heart which does not love is, you know, it's not from God. But consider this, envy was one of the things that caused Abel to be murdered. Envy enslaved Joseph, and envy put Jesus on the cross. You know, the scripture said, for he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. That was in Matthew 27, verse 18. So I guess the best way to understand each of these, including envy, is to see it in the life of Jesus or not in the life of Jesus. We could replace the word love with the name Jesus, and the description would make perfect sense. We can easily say, Jesus suffers long, or Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus is not boastful, and on and on and on and on. And we'll get an understanding, I think a deeper understanding, of this description of love and the essential nature of love.
Sure. So it is absolutely essential. John 13:35 reminds us, every person will know by this that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so this is absolutely essential in the life of any true believer to exhibit the essence of love, because God is love. And so this is really great. So love is foundational. Love, we must make love essential, and we must make love also eternal. Let's start reading in verse number 8. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it shall come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will fully know as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so love must be eternal. So just in our physical lives, the truly love really does mean that it has to keep going on, right? When you get married, you make a vow that says, till death do us part. Why? Because true love never ends. If I don't keep a record of wrong, if I bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things, right? That means that the love is going to keep on going. And so this is the essence of what it really means to truly love. And I think that many times, many of us never fully grasp all that love is. And so reading this passage over and over again is real important for any one of us if we're going to really in our lives make love eternal. I can remember I memorized this chapter as a young teenager. I committed this chapter to memory, and it has been a blessing to my life as it continually reminds me of the essence of real love. And so when I want to stop being loving, it comes up in my mind again and reminds me that no, love has to push beyond this and keep on going. Why? Because love never ends. Wow, that is a powerful stamp on this entire lesson here. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, that's right, Mark. Love should not end, especially when we talk about love being God or God or loving the way that God loves. It should never end. You know, these spiritual gifts that we pursue, what's being said here is that they will end. We won't need them anymore in eternity, because when that which is partial will come to an end, when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end, and the perfect that comes is the eternal life, and we'll be in the presence of God and Jesus throughout eternity. So we won't need these things at all. So, you know, and I wanted to speak just briefly on that faith, hope, and love. I know that you probably commented on it as well, Mark. These should be three great pursuits of Christians, not miracles, not powers, not gifts. The things that we should pursue are faith, hope, and love. So the question then that we should ask is, what is our Christian life focused on? What do we really want more of? It should come back to faith, hope, and love. If it doesn't, then we need to get a sense of God's priorities and make sure that our focus is where it belongs. Because faith, hope, and love are so important, we should expect to see them throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament. And then it says, the greatest of these is love. And that's what we've been talking about. Love is greater because, as we said, love is eternal and it will never end. We will eternally love God, and we will eternally love one another. But faith and hope, you know, its purpose will be fulfilled here on earth, and we won't need that in heaven. So I just wanted to point those things out, Mark.
All right. So what a powerful summation of this lesson this is, this idea of making love eternal. That love, true love, never ends because it never gives up. I'm grateful for that. And so, friend, I want you to hold on if you're a Bible study teacher, because in just a moment, Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip. But I just want to remind everybody that you can get your own copy of the You Bible Study at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in a paper and digital formats, has a teacher's guide in the back of the book, and it has daily devotional pages to keep us engaged in the Bible every single day. Has a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. You want to get your copy and allow it to bless your life even now. Come on, Christina, and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is be mindful. Now, in all of these sessions or How to Love Your Neighbor, your teaching tip will suggest that you be something. Last session, we talked about be prayerful, and this one is be mindful, because we want you to consider that these topics can be thought-provoking and may need some extra research, especially this one. You know, we're trying to foster a deeper appreciation of love-guided actions. So this session is going to speak in depth about spiritual gifts. So this is what you need to be mindful about. Be mindful that your learners may debate among themselves about the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues. So be ready through research to set the record straight, even though this may cause some disappointment, and you may have to continue at another time to answer questions. Ask God to create a peaceful environment and help you lead the class discussion effectively. That's it.
All right. Thank you so very much. This is going to be a great lesson, and we hope that it is taught in the spirit of love. Ah, come on now. So, friend, join us again for the another episode of the You Bible Study Podcast, because you never know where God will take you.